Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm awaiting my co-hosts, Heather and Mark, to join me. I am an astrologer in New York City. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, and it is a lovely night in New York. It is absolutely gorgeous out, and the window's open, and the wind is blowing, and we have a moon that's waning, getting smaller and smaller in the heavens as we move forward, and we look forward to this next week. And so what we do here at Access Astrology is we talk about what the what's going on in the heavens and how it works and what it feels like energetically and how to work with it. So I don't know where Heather and Mark are, but we were supposed to all rendezvous here, so hopefully they'll show up soon. In the meantime, we'll get started with what's going on above us, and then we'll also take your calls if that works for you. We do have a couple callers on the line, which is always good. So today is, this is for the week of October 17th, and what we're doing this week is we're really looking forward to that sun trine to Neptune. The sun's going to trine Neptune, and there I see Mark. Okay.
Hello, Ann.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good.
I
how
just
are
saw
you
come in. Good, good. So introduce yourself to the audience.
Mark Wold, New York City, over on the west side of Manhattan.
Over on the west
and
side,
yeah. You're up on the east side?
I'm up on the east side, and it's that kind of day where
bright red
desk,
little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Enjoying
good.
The beautiful weather. It's gorgeous here.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of a snuffly cold, so I'm making body noises, so I apologize ahead of time to people for fluid sounds, coughing and snuffling. Mm. But yeah, I was just saying we have the sun trine Neptune, which makes us all want to sleep. So I took a nap when I got home today from down Florida and kind of was like, okay, I need a nap. I've got this little snuffly cold thing going here. My sister was like, airplanes. I'm like, yeah, airplanes make you cold. So
yes, they're very
yes,
difficult. Yeah.
They are. It's like you breathe all that air. And I mean, I just go to sleep when I get on them. It's like my first thing is to go, hi, and then that's it, I'm out. So they don't lose any money on me. I don't buy any liquor. I go to sleep, and they don't sell me any water or anything.
Yeah, wow.
But it's cool.
The air is tough to breathe.
Yeah.
The whole time. Yeah.
And I hadn't done my airborne this trip down. I usually do that. And,
oh, you take that
whatever.
Before?
Yeah, I like that. I think that really helps.
It's a good
plan, kind of a
yeah.
Dose. Yeah, I kind of ran around and forgot about it, and now I'm snuffly. So at any rate, let's talk about the week ahead. I was starting with that the sun is trine to Neptune, which is really fabulous because what that does is it helps us really kind of see things in a different way. And it also makes us very dreamy this week, which is always very cool. We love that sun-Neptune thing. And then on Sunday, the sun enters Scorpio, which is a whole shift into the fall. So those were the two things I was thinking were really kind of prominent this week. That Neptune-Sun.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a quiet week, you know.
Right.
And what do you think about, how do you tell people to work with that Neptune sun?
Well, it's always a good one to just turn into a spiritual source in whatever way. Or it's very good for meditating, for receiving. Basically, you know, it's a little bit like being able to go through the dial on your radio. Remember dials on radios?
I was doing that yesterday in the car. They have a scan thing. The thing kind of scans until it finds the radio station. My brother-in-law listens to Rush Limbaugh, so I did that one part of the car ride, and then I was like, I can't handle this guy anymore.
No,
let me put on some music. Yeah,
it's fair to keep it moving.
Yes,
but,
that was my feeling.
Yeah, but sun trine Neptune, it is that kind of thing of going through the scan or just twirling the dial and seeing what comes in. And often the sun trine Neptune will bring something new in, not the same station you're used to, but something a little different and worth listening to. And you don't know quite how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
It did just sort of appear on the dial, and you may not find it again.
Right.
It might be
that little momentary thing, and you go,
Yeah, Yeah.
How did that
and
come
it's
in?
Just like,
how did
oh,
that
was an interesting show. I wonder what, it was somewhere in the 90s on my dial, but I can't find it again.
And I don't know what happened, and I think I just picked up Heather. Heather, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
hi,
just saw your
how
number
you
come in,
tonight?
And I thought, I recognize Heather. Good, so introduce yourself, Heather.
Thank you. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a call from, I have a letter from one of our clients when we get around to answering questions.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Well, Mark and I were just talking about the Sun Neptune and how when you dial the thing, it, you know, it's like on the radio and you never find it again. And I was down in Florida this week. My brother-in-law has, you know, eyebrowed their car, and he had Rush Limbaugh on the radio. You know, that was so. I was like,
Oh Lord.
Yeah, yeah. So then I was pressing the scan button, and things just kind of going. It gets to a, you know, my kind of music, and I go, okay, I want it there. That's like stop. I don't know what number it was, but it was an hour of commercial-free, you know, kind of music I could sing along in the car to. So I think that Mark's analogy of the Sun trine Neptune is really true, because it's like, hey, you know, you're on the ride. Just close your eyes and have a good time.
Yep.
You know, how do you tell your clients to work with it?
The Sun Neptune trine?
Mm-hmm.
People are walking around in such a fog, and yeah, how can you do that in a good way? That you're not linear thinking, it really isn't the point right now. It was a few days ago as the Sun-Saturn conjunct, but today I'm seeing that I'm also asking them to really watch where their imagination is going, because with the scorpionic focus of Mercury and Venus in Scorpio, I'm seeing their imagination getting carried away with them, and not necessarily in good ways. I have two clients that called in the last 2 days with cancer scares, and their mind is often rolling down the road with very little evidence. It's not that they do or do not have cancer, we have to find out, but they already have 20 scenarios of the worst case playing out in their mind because their imagination, which is Neptune's gift, gets carried away. So it you know, the cure for Neptune on a bad day can be a little Saturn, can be a, just like a, that's my story is that this awful thing could happen or this wonderful thing could happen, or but now how do I actually deal with it? You know, how do I get some information here? So I'm just asking people to when in doubt get a little bit more real information.
Right.
Yeah, get second and third opinions. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a client call, and her teacher, her son's teacher had called and said he had a processing problem, you know, and so she kind of went, okay, you know, and I'm like, no, he's a water sign. He just takes a little longer. He's in an air environment. But, you know, she scheduled an appointment with a neurologist. It's like, okay, well, that'll make you feel better. Go do it. But at the same time, you know, probably nothing wrong with the kid. You know, he just, you know, when he actually gets a moment to think about things, he's totally cool. You know, he just, when you say to him, what do you think? He kind of goes, I don't know, you know, because he's a water kid. He kind of takes that extra pulse. So it is kind of, yeah, that's a good point. Like, what is the, what actually is going on? So, but I don't know.
But again, you know, if we can't dream it, we can't make it. And so it's a great time. I think whenever I have a positive Neptune transit, it's a chance to dream it differently.
Yes.
And to feel that sense of connection. I was in a really interesting workshop this weekend on, you know, what community would we like to see? What is, and it was, you know, put on by the reclaiming tradition. So it was, you know, very magical version of how do you create good community. And it was pretty cool that they were allowing us, giving us room to just say not what's working or not working in our life, but what could possibly work and how do we step in that direction.
Right. How do
Very
we make
good.
That?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the Sun Neptune. A lot of times it seems like a good time to reframe things. You know, you come up with a different way of looking at it, a different way of thinking about it. Because you're kind of in the, you know, you're in that inspired mode, too. I find it's one of those, I kind of get ideas about, oh, you know, I want to move my furniture, I want to rearrange my bookcases, or, you know, something where you're kind of inspired, the vision comes in bigger. And this is a nice one, because this is the last time the sun's going to trine Neptune for the last 14 years. It's been in, you know, Neptune's been in Aquarius for the last 14 years. This is the last one because Neptune goes into Pisces,
mm-hmm.
and it's done for 164 years. So this is your dream of community and the collective. So it's interesting that that workshop happened then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great for what does your community and your collective look like. At the same time, what parts of your community and collective do you want to have dissolve
mm-hmm.
and disappear? Mm-hmm. You know, which parts don't you need anymore?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, magical
it's also,
times.
I think, mm-hmm. a time when I'm seeing people getting caught. I'm thinking of the Iowa minister that was nabbed in a prostitution sting in this week, that a lot of people's addictions are being stirred up. And with that Neptune, and because it's a Neptune trine, you know, one of Neptune's gifts, it says, I'm going to have you found out about your addiction so that you break it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to, you
yeah.
know, someone I knew was forgot their cigarettes and was just absolutely panicking because they didn't have the money to buy another pack just then. But I felt like they began to realize that their body was sort of just tricking them into facing how addicted they were and that they needed to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not really a bad thing, but it's a kind thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of having that vision of the addiction, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my assistant was talking about her boyfriend has quit smoking, but he's using those little fake cigarette things, you know, where you pull
mm-hmm.
them in, the
mm-hmm.
steamers. And he's, like, really addicted to them. She goes, it's really kind of weird. But he, you know, really likes them. He thinks they're great. Because
mm-hmm.
they satisfy the oral, and they have all these taste sensation pieces to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. He quit smoking. You know, but now he's kind of, like, into this new thing. So, yeah, watch for new addictions coming in. Go, oh, wow, I am addicted, you know. Yeah,
right.
Addiction is great. We love addiction. So, Mark, what do you say to people when they're feeling sad under these kind of transits or working with addictions? Because you're really very mellow. You're like one of the most mellow people I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I think of you as kind of like Neptune. You know, I always get
uh-huh.
near you and I go, Neptune's here. It's great, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I have Neptune opposite sun natally, so.
I know. I always feel like you're my natural, you're my natural Neptune, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, when people are feeling kind of lost or sad or just kind of spaced out with the Neptune, what's important is to look for something of vision. In other words, try to put some direction to what you're seeing. Because I feel that what happens when people get lost with Neptune is they become too receptive. So they're just passively... It's like, you know, being lost at the movies and not, you know, not really working with any vision. So when that's happening, I think it's important to sit up a little straighter in your chair and say, let's see, how was this movie edited? Or why did they choose that camera angle?
Uh-huh.
Or... what do I think will be the next line out of this actor's mouth? And in other words, not just taking it in, but getting actively involved because that movie was made.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, and the same in our life around us, people have made choices for certain things to happen the way that they are. And if we just sit back and say, oh, look what's coming at me now, and look what's coming at me now. Get a little more like you would be in the movie theater to say, well, how could this have come to be? And where is this going to lead next? Now, you might not be right, but it doesn't matter so much if you're right or not. It's more getting involved in the vision of what's being created. So the same as becoming a movie critic for a moment. If you know, you're just losing yourself at the movie, then engage that critical function. And then, you know, when you get sort of woken up by that, then don't wreck the movie by out trying to second-guess it. You know, then you can become a little more passive again. But, you know, it's the Neptune-Sun thing, especially when it's a trine, it becomes just too easy to go along for the ride. And if that's working for you and you're just enjoying it and it's kind of a little vacation, no problem,
mm-hmm.
don't interrupt it. But if it's you're starting to have a bum trip, then realize, wait a minute, it's only a trip. And if I get actively involved in it, then I can steer it a little bit, or at least I can know that it's just what it is. So that's what I do.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
sit up straighter and, you know, ask a few questions.
You kind of focus it back
yeah.
to earth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, I know with me, it was one point I was taking a movie course, and the guy goes, you know, nobody sets out to make a bad movie, but sometimes it is bad, you know.
Yeah.
But nobody starts with that intention, I'm going to make something deliberately
mm-hmm.
bad. They all have a vision. And then the vision can come out however it comes out, because a lot, you know, for whatever reason, but it's, you don't set out to make a bad movie. So, like, you know, the movie's not going the way you want. This trying is an excellent time to refocus it and redirect it. We also have this week the sun going into Scorpio next Sunday, which gets us firmly into the fall season here in the Northern Hemisphere, where we are now then in the deep part of the fall. And, of course, Scorpio's intense. And last week, Mercury and Venus both, you know, kind
yeah,
of
yeah, it's going to be joining Mercury and Venus there.
Yeah, I have my Venus return. I always love my Venus return.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yay, Venus is here. So it's about understanding, you know, that deeper, more profound connection, too. Because Mercury and Venus are ahead of the sun, shouting back to the sun, but then the sun catches up to the sign that they're in on Sunday. So this also is a, you know, balancing the energy of the Venus and the Mercury, because Venus rules the sun right now. So she's giving the sun a little flavor of that Scorpio. But on Sunday, he truly commits to Scorpio. And I have to say, I do love the Scorpio season. You know, I love the root vegetables and all those, the trees turning and the beauty and the grace. But it also marks the end of something. And very often, because we are kind of in tune with the seasons, even if we aren't necessarily paying attention to our chart, fall brings with it times for us to reflect on the things we're letting go of and losing or releasing because it's time. So I know I was kind of working on that a little bit this afternoon. I guess I'm a little ahead of myself sometimes when I was lying in bed with my little snuffly nose going, okay, I'm going to snuggle with the cat and kind of hang out, you know, and just be aware of the passage of time, you know. So what do you guys say to people about the sun in Scorpio?
What
well,
do you want
a,
to investigate?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
What are you curious about, and where can you put that curiosity? Are you investigating your own soul and your purpose of existence? Are you investigating, you know, what are your strange dreams? Because the bottom of our psyche often gets so activated when these lineups happen in Scorpio. I find people's primal emotions are really up. Health questions mentioned, but also territorial and possessive, and it's really fueling the use and abuse of power and the investigation of where our money is going in the whole Wall Street Occupy, the Tundra Occupy. The taking back the space, it's really adding, I think, fuel that you know, traditionally Scorpio is ruled by Mars. So mm-hmm. I find just people taking their issues to the mat. And if that means taking your meditation to a really intense place, beautiful. If that means taking your protest to an intense place, beautiful. But if that can also mean taking, you know, your resistance to somebody's protest to an intense place. So we have to be careful that anything we start up will tend to intensify versus people backing off. If people don't want to talk about something right now, I think it's really important that we not push them, unless it is that we are investigating what we think is an abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
Because that line right now, people need their privacy under the Scorpio, they're not necessarily hiding something. They just may need to keep things close to themselves. So the combination of both unusual curiosity and unusual need for boundaries can be a little tricky. You know, that I've had one couple call where one of them was sure the other one was cheating because they were just being quiet. And when I really investigated the problem, because I was doing some couples counseling with them, it was just that the man was feeling thoughtful and had gone inside and just wasn't really responding to questions. It wasn't that he was seeing anybody else. He just wasn't really that emotionally available to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, be careful what you're curious about. Use it carefully. Don't jump to conclusions.
Cool. And Mark, how do you suggest people use that, Scorpio?
Well, it's good to remember that this is the late harvest season. And like Anne said, the root vegetables, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're all the ones that can
mm-hmm.
survive the light frost and all that. And
mm-hmm.
so in a way, we have everything we need. We're never going to be more wealthy. And so in a way, what we do is optional, but we also can take that deeper look. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's safer to do an investigation, to go deeper
mm-hmm.
with things, because, again, we've collected everything, we have it all. We're not in danger of running out at this point. So it's kind of the last hurrah of the summer in that sense. And, you know, after this, then it gets a little more serious. We move into winter.
Yeah.
You know, and things are not as optional. You got to be more warmly dressed. You have to think ahead for the day. This time, you know, if you went out and you're a little underdressed, it's all right. You'll make it home. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there's still a carefreeness, but there's a sense of seriousness on the horizon. So I like that sense of taking advantage of not being in danger to explore danger. Explore what's coming. Look deeper into things than you might later on.
Naturally do it, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Okay.
So I have
a
question
you had
from a client,
right.
One of our listeners. Diane was born on 11/1/1960 at 6:43 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
In Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Okay.
And she, like so many people these days, is in a job, struggling a job. She lost one job and lost another job recently, not by her choice. It wasn't a good fit, but she was holding off looking until her home settled down, but now she has no income and is trying not to panic. But she keeps feeling that the path that she's been on is the right one. She says, given that Uranus is on my MC, I know change is constant. Maybe relocation would help, although moving would also cost money. I need some light on this road. I just can't see what I'm doing on this path. And I, you know, part of it, it is so hard looking at clients' charts these days. So many of them are not showing any sign of problem, but they're stuck in a country that is. And it's a little harder to read success or failure in relationship to how bad the economy is globally at the moment.
Right.
So she didn't say what kind of job she was losing. Jupiter is in her sixth house and opposing her Sun-Neptune conjunction natally. Mm-hmm. Venus just crossed into her first house. Mercury's on her first house. So she may hear good news fairly soon as they cross into her first house and conjunct her Mercury. She's a Sun-Neptune conjunction in Scorpio in the 12th, so she tends to work behind the scenes, but her Moon in Aries isn't as quiet. She has her Moon in Aries in the 5th. She's got some interesting contradictions in her chart between being wanting to be visible and wanting to be out there.
Right. Uranus in the sky is squaring her Jupiter
yeah.
in her second house, which rules her money house. and also her sense of security foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that you're really feeling it, Diane, with kind of the Justin and then the Pluto trine Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Good news, grand trine in Earth coming.
Yep.
Bad news, not until next February. So kind of you're going to probably be a little rocky and rolly, maybe a Christmas job
between
or something like that. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Jupiter is opposing her Sun and Neptune and from the sixth house, and sometimes, and Uranus is squaring her Jupiter. And both of them are saying, you're free. You didn't want to be, but you're free.
Universe sometimes makes you be free, and you go, I didn't want that, thank you very much.
Right, yes.
Yeah, leave me alone.
It's pretty funny how you evoked that. So a moon in Aries is not very good. She said she wasn't happy in the job, but she didn't want to tell anybody because she was trying to get her job done. And moon in Aries, as a fellow moon in Aries, we can't do that. You know, if we're not where our energy is, everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be polite for a day or two, maybe a week, but not for months on end. So she has to have something that she's passionate about in the job or interested in, or everybody will be insulted by her. Or they'll feel her, you know, passive-aggressive side. She's got to have something in it that she's curious about. But it looks like she's being freed up for a reason, and I would ask her, what do you need freedom for? What would you, if you could, what would you be free to do? Her progressed Sun has just entered in Capricorn this year. And her progressed Sun is going to be conjuncting Jupiter in her second house. So it feels like she might be on the path of moving towards some real work that would be more who she really is.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be honest with that.
Yeah, Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that she is sort of floating toward a transition. And it's a lot, you know, it's kind of a balance between letting the boat find its own direction and yet knowing when to steer it. So she needs to do both.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, don't pull the rudder out of the water, but don't try to overly steer it either. So it's kind of difficult to do that, but it is what's necessary, you know, to know sort of how much to steer it and how much to let these little accidents happen, you know, where something comes in.
And if she was talking about possible relocation, that her Sun line runs just west of Montreal and sort of at an angle just west of Washington, D.C. and down through the middle of Florida. And if she was a little closer to her Sun line, you know, that's East Coast Corridor, but inland from the Boston area and New York area. I'd say Baltimore, D.C., Pittsburgh, Toronto, Atlanta, you know, just inland of that Sun line. It puts Sun on the ascendant or in the first house. And she would be amazed at how much more visible she feels. If she can find something that she wants to be visible about, they will see her more clearly inland from where she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was interesting. I was just in Jacksonville, and we were talking about the economy. And Jacksonville's hiring, Florida, Orlando area is hiring. You know, and her lines go right through that area. So
yep,
she's looking for something temporary that could work. And the British lady just spoke. The show is over, or 60 seconds till it is. So we apologize. I saw a couple callers. We'll get you guys next week if you call in with your questions.
Call in next week.
Shoot us an email. You can do it that way. This is Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York here at my bright red desk. And my compadres are?
Heather Owen Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota. And
Mark Wolf from New York City.
Yeah. So drop by the Open Center and see Mark and I. And Heather, are you doing anything out there in the West that they can come visit?
Yes, I'm teaching a beginning astrology class at the Sacred Path Center, and I'll be speaking at the Mankato Women's and Spirituality Conference this weekend.
Very cool.
Okay.
So tell your friends about astrology and encourage them to follow their dreams this week with that Sun Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
We'll catch you all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay,
bye
now.